And we looked at the issue of heaven and hell. Could it be that a God who was loving actually sent people to hell? So we're continuing that series. It's not the normal sort of things you hear in a church like this, but we just felt it was would be helpful because we need to be people that share our faith. We can't just say, follow Jesus, he's Lord. People have minds and they often need to be persuaded. You know, we can share love with them, we can share our testimony, but sometimes we need to share answers to the questions that people actually have. And so this morning, we're talking about the subject, do all religions lead to God? And, you know, in the West, it's something that really, I guess, most people are a bit ignorant about religion. We conveniently call ourselves agnostics. And it's easy to say that. It sounds respectable. I always think there's two kinds of doubters. You know, there's one kind of doubter that doubts because he's looked at all the evidence, weighed it all up and can't quite decide. You know, the clinching piece of evidence is not quite found yet. But there's another kind of doubter, which is that they doubt because they don't really want to know the truth. Because if there was a God, it might be awfully inconvenient. You know, if this Bible and Jesus thing was true, it would have to change. I'd have to change the way I live. So because of that, I doubt. And this respectable word, agnostic, is a Greek word. If we translate it into Latin, please work. It's not going to work, is it? Perhaps if you close it and open it again and then press F5 again. Don't we love technology? I got so many slides today. It did work and it will work in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, I took my kids to Dad's Army yesterday. If you want to watch a film about what the church is like, go and watch Dad's Army. Really, I mean, talk about prophetic. It all ends good in the end, and I think that's about the same with us, probably. So, filmed in Beverly and Bridlington, Old Town. I've been praying for that cinema that's just come. Pray that God blesses it and the businesses there. How are we doing? Okay, this will come at some point. So, with most people in Britain, they doubt because they just can't be bothered. You know, they haven't looked. Here we go. Agnostic, there we are. There's the other one. The ignoramus. That's agnostic translated into Latin. It's the same word. And that's what most of us are. We just don't know, we don't care, and for us it's not important. But that is so crazy, because if there is a God who created us, if there is a God who's got a specific plan tailor-made for your life, who knows how you can be completely fulfilled as a person, and more importantly, who you will stand before on the day of judgment and has the power to send you to heaven or hell, surely to find out about God, that's the most important issue before our society. People spend loads of time on comparison websites comparing things that don't really matter. Go compare your car and your house and whatever. But when it comes to religion, people don't really bother looking at the truth. So this is how it actually is at the moment, okay? The major religions of the world by percentage. Christianity is the largest religion in the world. Islam is second. And then the others are all smaller. Hindus, 13, Buddhists, and so on. Jews, Sikhs, they're in the other religions. And the non-religious, what probably most people in this country would say, non-religious, that's actually a minority worldview. We forget that living here, but it is a minority worldview. people's ideas are changing very fast, and the best predictions are that by 2050, the world population will be 30% Muslim. Okay, we'll look in more detail in a sec. The non-religious and the Buddhist are on their way out. They're going down. Next 30 years, they'll worldwide have dropped by between 2 and 3%. Hindus are stable, mainly because of large birth, they're having lots of kids. Okay. A lot of Hindus are getting converted to Christianity, but they have a lot of kids, so that ends it up stable. So if we just look at that in more detail, the Muslim population, which will grow from 21 to about 30%, is almost entirely through birth. So on average, they have 3.1 children. Also, the Muslim population is younger. Most of them are under 20. And so obviously in 30 years' time, the projection means that their numbers are more. By 2050, the Muslims will make up at least 10% of Europe, and in some countries, up towards about 30% if projections continue. So the Christian population, around 100 million Christians are projected to lose their faith. That's just taking the straight line, statistics as they are, to become non-religious. But that's more than matched by the fact that thousands of people are becoming Christians every day. And none of the other world religions has anything remotely like that. Islam doesn't have that. Buddhism, Hinduism, none of them have people from other faiths or no faith that are converting in. There's only Christianity that has that. So about 500 Hindus every day are becoming Christians, and about 5,000 Muslims every day are becoming Christians. That's an amazing statistic. Okay, so in our country, although you probably wouldn't know it or maybe admit it, your worldview, if you're like a normal Western person, has been very much shaped by something called the Enlightenment, which is this philosophical movement where, you know, around the time of the French Revolution, people started to think that mankind had come of age. Now it's the age of reason. We have science and evidence now. We don't need the medieval superstition and the religion of the church. That's out of date. Out of that grew humanism, which says that mankind is in control of his own destiny. We have to work out the best way to live in the world. And one of the most famous philosophers, Kierkegaard, existential philosopher, he said this, which really sums up what most people in our countries believe. Each individual, not society or religion, is solely responsible for giving meaning to life and living it passionately and sincerely. So most people in our country would probably agree to that, that if something is right for you, then it's right for you. Something could be right for me, and then that's right for me. So each of us can find our own path, and they're all right. So this is a product of existentialism, of the Enlightenment, because we're all enlightened now. We can find our own way to God. And I think in our country, this is the thing that most people believe. The Buddhists are fine. They're going to get to heaven anyway. And the Hindus are fine. And Islam, you know, as long as they follow it sincerely. And we think of this, don't we, that, you know, it's all different paths up the same mountain. And some go the narrow path. They're very religious and they go straight up. Others meander around. And somehow in our country, we even think and say, if you've been to many funerals, you'll have heard this, you know, it doesn't matter how they lived, you know, God will accept them in the end. Somehow, you know, we'll all meander up into heaven. The thing is that no world religion would actually agree with that position. So that is a minority position worldwide, going back to that graph, it was 14% of people that think that. We think that is the truth because we think we're enlightened. We think we know more than other people. We'll look at that a bit more later in the talk. But actually, when you think about it, just like philosophically, it's obvious that this couldn't be right, that whichever way you follow, you get to the same goal. I live, obviously, in Beverly. If I come out of my house and I drive south, I end up in London. If I come out of my house and I aim in a different direction and I go north, I end up in Edinburgh. Now, the two roads don't lead to the same destination. And when you look in detail at world religions, they're aiming in different ways. And the paths to get to those different aims are completely different. So it's just obvious and logical that if you take different paths, you won't end up in the same destination. And it's also obvious and logical that of all the different religions that there are, they can't all be right. For example, just basic questions like, how many gods are there? Okay, so in Christianity, Islam, Judaism, there's one God. In Hinduism and other religions, there are thousands of gods. And in Buddhism, there's no God. So it's just obvious that they can't all be right. You know, they're contradictory facts. Well, not facts, contradictory statements. So either just one is right, or they're all wrong. There's no other possibilities. And it's the same when you look in detail at what the other religions teach. They're contradictory. So, for example, Christianity says about mankind that man is made in God's image and that we can enjoy a close friendship with God. Islam, on the other hand, says that man is completely unlike God. And to say that man can share fellowship with God is an unforgivable sin. So they're obviously contradictory, aren't they? The same, you put Buddhism in there, all men are of equal value, man is the highest form of reincarnation. The Hindus say man is of different value. That's why they're born into different castes. And again, you look at the spiritual pilgrimage, how you try to get to God, what they say is completely different. Buddhism, how good or bad you are in one life determines what you will be born as in the next life. And then man can reach nirvana by his own efforts. So Hinduism is different. A Hindu can follow one or all of these four paths: path of spiritual knowledge, meditation, devotion, or good works. Islam, keep the five pillars of Islam. Islam says that you may keep the Islamic faith perfectly and God may still cast you into hell at the end of your life. Or someone else might not keep it at all, but they might go to heaven because your life after death is determined by what an angel decrees over you while you're in your mother's womb. Even Muhammad was not sure that he would go to heaven. And they teach in the Quran that the only way you can be sure to go to heaven is to die in jihad. So these are, you know, there's no way you can say that they're the same because they're different. We know what Christianity teaches. They're completely different. Buddhism has an eightfold path. Hinduism has four paths. Islam has five pillars. Just by looking at on the surface, you can see that either just one is right or none of them are right. So we live in a society where there's strong pressure to be tolerant. And people will take everything apart from intolerance, which is actually an intolerant position. I believe in toleration, you know, and I think that as Christians we shouldn't behead people of other religions. You know, I think it's right to let them, you know, to be tolerant towards them. But there's a higher value than the value of toleration, and that's the value of truth. Because you can tolerate a fool, but if you want, you know, a model for life, it wouldn't be the fool. And you have to work out what is the best way to live. So you have to work out what is the truth. Now again, in our society, this is something Jesus says, and it seems a very intolerant statement actually. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So it's almost against the law to quote that verse in some countries of Europe. In Sweden, for example, if you preach what the Bible says about homosexuality and about other religions, according to the letter of the law, a law that was brought out about 5 or 6 years ago, you can be imprisoned. And in our country, we have legislation about inciting to religious hate. So, quoting this verse, you're very close to the edge of it being illegal, where Jesus says, I am the only way to God. All the others are wrong. So toleration, though it's, you know, is very important, there's a higher truth in that, a higher value, which is the value of truth. So how do we find the truth? Well, again, a common view in our society is this, that all religions contain an element of the truth. There's the parable of the elephant, that some blind men all came up to an elephant, and one felt the trunk, and he said, you know, they're trying to find out what it is, and he said, oh, it's definitely a snake. And one held the ear, and he said, oh, it's definitely a rug. And the other, the leg, is definitely a tree. And the one that held the tusk, it was definitely a spear. And, you know, the parable is meant to show that everyone has a part of the truth. And so people say, well, you know, there are some good things in Buddhism, there are some good things in Islam, there are some good things in Christianity. What we need to do is, with our enlightened, educated mind, we need to step back and see the big picture. And we need to look at all the religions and take out the best bits from all of them and reject the bad bits, and then we can get like the perfect religious truth. And actually, that's the height of arrogance, because people that think that, what they're saying is that they believe they know more about God than Buddha or Muhammad or Jesus or any of the other religious leaders and teachers. Somehow people think that they're so wise and clever that they and they alone can work out about God and mankind and how we should live. And the truth of the matter is really that our knowledge, mankind's knowledge, is actually very limited. And when it comes to God, God is actually outside the sphere of what human beings are able to discover using our intelligent mind. You know, we can't measure God in a test tube, or we can't do experiments. We can't go and talk to him in the way that you know, using your five senses, that's how we normally gain knowledge. And so we have a limited sphere of what we can discover as human beings. The thing is that God is actually outside of that sphere of what we're able to discover. And so that's why we can't step back and look at the bigger picture and work out ourselves what is right and true, because actually God himself is outside of the sphere of human knowledge. The only thing that we can discover about God are the things that he chooses to reveal within our sphere of knowledge. And of course, Christianity, and in fact the other religions, claim that they are revelations from God, or at least Islam, Judaism, they say that they're revelations where God has broken in to our sphere of knowledge and told us about himself. So again, we come back to this thing. Only one of them can be right. But which one is it? How do we know that Christianity is the religion that we should choose? Now, I'm actually going to do two other talks to answer that question, you know, in the series. But I'm just going to very briefly give you three reasons why I believe, you know, Christianity is the religion that everybody should choose from. The first reason is this, that Christianity is the only faith that sees the importance of evidence. So many committed Christians have also been brilliant scientists. So, for example, Sir Isaac Newton wrote more works on theology than he did on science. Einstein had a strong view of God. Charles Darwin started out his education training to be a priest. I went to Cambridge University, and in my first year, there was a postgraduate living next to me in a room, and he was a brilliant PhD astrophysicist from Taiwan. He was quite a lot older than us undergrads. But he had done his thesis on some formula or some equation that Einstein had worked on for some years and failed to finish, and he finished it. So he was paid by the government of Taiwan to come to Cambridge, and he was studying something in astrophysics and astronomy. I honestly don't know. He did try and explain, but it's a bit beyond me. So, you know, I asked him about his religion, and he said, well, you know, we're Buddhists in our country, but I'm not really religious. And I started sharing with him, and he started looking at Christianity. And within about two terms, he got converted to Christianity. And I said to him, what was it that did it? And he said, you know, I'm one of the leading astrophysicists in the world, and I just can't believe scientifically that there can't be a God. And so I've been looking all this time for evidence as to which one it is. And he ended up meeting Jesus and getting saved. And there are many thousands of other scientists and people like him, because Christianity is the only faith that allows you to ask questions. If you question the Quran, you're killed. And I've got a book here. I'd really recommend this book. I may touch on some of it next time I do this series, by a guy called Mark Gabriel, who was a professor of Islam in the Al-Azhar University in Cairo, which is Islam's leading academic center worldwide. So he was a professor of Islam, and he started asking questions because the Quran contradicts itself in a lot of ways, and he was asking questions about that as a Muslim, as a professor of Islam. And he asked one question too many, and the secret police came and took him and arrested him and tortured him, beat him for weeks because he questioned his faith. Now that led him to go on a journey which ended up in him getting converted. But other religions don't allow the questioning that Christianity has been subjected to. One of my talks, I'm going to look at you know, the historical evidence for Jesus and some of the archaeological evidence behind the Bible, because there's actually solid evidence for what we believe, unlike anything that is there for any of the other faiths. If you look at it as a neutral observer, then you have to be convinced. The second point, second reason why I would choose Christianity above the others, is that Christianity is the only religion that is based on the life of a person. So all the other religions are based on the teaching of a person. And there is a difference. You can say whatever you want. You might not be able to live it, but you can say it, and other people can listen and try and follow it. Christianity is based on the life of Jesus, what he actually did, who he was, what he accomplished, how he was as a person. Now, if the Western politicians that, you know, push us to accept that Islam is a peaceful religion, if they actually read any life story of Muhammad, they would never say that. Because he killed thousands of people. And he led armies that went and attacked innocent villages that just wanted to be left alone. And he gave them the choice to submit to Islam or die. That was his life. He married 13 women. The youngest was 6 when he married her, and 9 when he started sleeping with her. So you look at Muhammad's life, and maybe I'll say more about that in a couple of weeks, you wouldn't follow a life like that. And that's why in our society, that is very much hidden. But you look at the life of Jesus, nobody, not even his enemies, could criticize the way that Jesus lived his life. One time he stood up in front of crowds and said, "Which of you can accuse me of sin?" Nobody could say anything because his life was so exemplary in every way. None of the other religious leaders ever performed one miracle. They don't even claim to have performed a miracle. Jesus claimed to be God. Nobody could contradict that because of the life that he lived. No other religious leader gave their life for their followers. None of them prophesied future historical events that history has shown us have come completely true. And all the other leaders of the religions died. You can go to Muhammad's tomb. You can go to temples like the Temple of the Tooth in Sri Lanka, where it's alleged part of the tooth of Buddha is, because his body was, you know, it was distributed among different temples. They all died. You go to Jesus' tomb, it's empty, because Jesus is alive today. None of the other religious leaders said that they would come and live in the lives of their followers, a fact that is testified to by millions of people all over the world. You never meet a Muslim who says, "Muhammad is living in my heart." Neither a Buddhist or a Hindu, because their religion is just based on following rules. So Christianity is based on the life of a unique person. And the third reason is that Christianity is the only religion that is realistic about the sinful human condition. All the other religions say that if you follow a certain set of teaching, they're different teachings, or if you work hard following after God, then eventually you'll be good enough and you'll, through your efforts, you will save yourself. Anyone who's ever made a New Year's resolution will know it's not quite that simple. Why is it we always choose chocolate over carrots? You know, you go, David Pawson told the story of a 17-year-old army recruit who the chaplain said, put him in the library and said, you just have to wait here for a couple of hours by yourself until I can talk to you. You're allowed to read any book in this library apart from one book, that book over there. You're not allowed to read that until you're 18. And then he went out. Guess which book he read? Now, there's something in our nature, isn't there, called sin, that Christianity is the only religion that says you can't save yourself because of the sin that is inside you. The other religions don't talk about that. Paul says this, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another way, doing things I absolutely despise. I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, then I do it anyway. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Now, Christianity is the only religion that is realistic about the human condition. I'll finish with this. There's an old legend about a person that fell into a pit and couldn't get out. And Buddha came along and he goes, don't worry, your suffering isn't real. Meditate and you can still reach nirvana. Another one came and said, if you follow my teaching, you won't fall into pits like that in the future. The Hindu guru came and said, don't worry, if you die, then you'll be reincarnated and you'll have another chance. The Muslim came along and he said, don't worry, if it's the will of Allah, then you'll get out of the pit. Jesus came along and took the person's hand and lifted them out of the pit. In fact, he went one step further. He actually came into the pit. He was born to be one of us, and he shared our life in the pit. He lived in it with us, and he died taking the punishment that should have been ours so that we could come to a different relationship with God. So I have absolutely no doubt that Jesus is the only way. And we can be confident when we talk to people that say, do all religions lead to God? We can answer confidently, absolutely not. Amen. Amen. Well, it's not really one of those talks where you make an appeal and if anyone wants prayer, you know. But we always offer prayer, of course. If anybody feels that you want prayer for anything, if you need prayer for healing, or if you want God to touch you, fill you with the Holy Spirit, or answer some issues that you have, we have a ministry team, and you'd be welcome to come and receive prayer. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you 7 o'clock tonight. Next Sunday, it'll be a different type of preaching, but I'm sure it'll be good.